Hello and welcome to Send Parenting Balance Podcast. My name is Katie Walker and I talk all things parenting children with autism, ADHD and or PDA. Today we are going to dive straight in and look at rumination and communication. How we communicate with others around us can really have a big impact on our own mental health. Let's uncover what I'm getting at here. Rumination is when we get stuck in our minds about certain things that we can't switch off. And of course, if you're a parent or carer to a neurodiverse child, you will likely be suffering lots of parental stigma, discrimination, and battles to try and get help for your child, to try and get those reasonable adjustments or the EHCPs or the disability living allowance. And those worries and constant anxieties and fears for the future, either short term or long term, meaning in an hour or in 2 years, can literally get stuck on repeat in our minds. And that's ruminating. It's going round and round and round. Now, ruminating plays a very big hand in anxiety and depression. And so, at least coming to terms with understanding when that's happening can be really helpful. But let's dive into why that's important. So, let's have a look at communication with others. I have a very small circle of people around me because living a life with neurospicy children means that there is some element of isolation and loneliness that other families don't seem to encounter. And it can be very difficult to get out into the world. We don't get invites to birthday parties, and if we did, it would be very difficult for us to attend, particularly if it was the sort of party that was at a soft play centre or an indoor trampolining centre, anything like that. Interestingly, I'm not on any of the school playground group chats. I'm not sure why. And we don't get any invites to go round to other people's houses, and of course, we don't have children here because my children have social difficulties, particularly Harry, the younger one who is 7. He doesn't go to any clubs outside of school because he finds that very difficult. And to be honest, school takes it out of him massively. And so we're just focusing on recovering after a school day. And so you can already see how separated from society, particularly being a parent, that I am, or families like mine would be. It is very difficult. And of course, if your child does struggle socially and won't accompany you to go and do things, that can be incredibly difficult. And that is where I am. And that's not an unusual story for families that have neurodiverse children. So when people say they only have a few people in their circle, that's quite common. Now, what can also happen is old friends, particularly if you went to school or college or had friends in a job that you used to do, they can fall away and end up on different paths because your care needs increase as your children grow if they have neurospicy needs. And as their children grow, if they're neurotypical, their needs become less and they start going out more. And so you end up on these very different paths, or that's at least definitely what's happened in my world. And of course, family events can become really tricky if you have neurodiverse children, with mixing with other children in the family or anything like that. And so it can be really sad and lonely because suddenly, within just a few years, you can look back and see just how much smaller your world has got. And that's incredibly lonely, frustrating, and isolating because sometimes it's not what we would choose as the adults. We have to remember that we are people too. I'm Katie, as well as I am mum. And although I can fulfill all of the care needs and be a great mum and be incredibly supportive, there's still Katie in here that likes to see other people and not be stuck in at the weekends and socialise. And I too have my own mental health and my own needs and goals and dreams and aspirations and all of that kind of stuff that kind of has to go on hold, really. So you can start to see and build a very big picture as to why the isolation can be so crippling. So due to having neurospicy children in my life, obviously my own children, in my own circle, I only have probably three people in my immediate circle, and that's not many. Now, I appreciate that some of you may be listening to this and think that three people in my immediate circle is quite a lot. And I completely understand that feeling. My number has grown from having just one person in my circle a few years ago, and so I completely get it. Now, how we talk and communicate to these people is really important for our own mental health. And let me try and explain why. Because when we do get the opportunity to talk to people, it's so rare in comparison to other families that we want to make sure that the experience with these people, when we do see them or FaceTime them or on the phone to them, that we're left with the fact that they have filled our cup. Because to drain our cup would not be okay. So we want to make sure that when we are able to have these occasions where we can actually talk to another adult, which likely is very rare, that we're filling our own cup. Because we can drain our cup without even knowing it. Communication for me is really difficult. I tell you why. I have very little life of my own. I'm a full-time carer to my children who are neurodiverse. I'm meeting their needs 24/7. There is no dad to collect at weekends. There's no babysitter to give me a break. And I don't have friends to go out with and do hobbies with and go drinking with. And I'm sure that many of you can hear and feel exactly what it is I'm trying to say. And so if you were to talk to me, the only thing I would have to talk about is likely going to be my children's needs, the frustrations within mainstream education, the current battle, which at the moment is Harry's EHCP. After that, I'm sure there'll be another battle because that is how our world works. Every 6 months or every year, there will be a new battle. And of course, likely the SEND frustrations within the system. Do I sound attractive? I have no real hobbies outside of the home, other than the gym and running, both of which I do alone. And I have no one in my life to talk about. So, for example, I can't start talking about what Lisa did last weekend or when so and so spoke to so and so and that was really funny. You know, there's no gossip, so to speak, because I'm not really in the world, if that makes sense. Do I sound attractive yet? I don't think so. Did I choose this? No, certainly not. Is there more to me? Absolutely. Can I do anything about it? No. Can I change it? Unlikely. Could I have prepared for it? No, it snuck off on me. And every year, I hope the year ahead gets a little easier and brighter, but it seems to stay about the same. Only because I've then done another year, I personally get more exhausted. Anyone still with me? Do I sound attractive yet? Am I filling your cup at the moment? Likely not, because it's all so sad. And so when I do finally speak to one of the three people in my circle, I can sometimes drain my own cup and start off this rumination because I will be talking about the SEND frustrations and the battles and the parental stigma that happened and the discrimination. And of course, I don't get very long with other people outside of parenting my children. And so if I'm just seeing someone for 45 minutes and I've got all of this out of my system, which on the one hand can make us feel better because we've got it out, but on the other hand, doesn't give us anything to fill our cup with at the end, then it can just keep the rumination going. And so, as you've guessed, I don't really have anything to talk about, which is ironic because I actually talk quite a lot. And I figured this out a year or so ago, and I decided that this really had to change. Whenever I spoke to all three people in my circle, I was like a broken record and very sad all of the time because nothing was ever going right. And I would use all three of those people to constantly play over these ruminating thoughts, and it would play over and over and over again. I even wondered at some point, you know, if I had found a friend like me, would I be a very interesting friend for them to have in return? And that was making me feel worse because I was thinking, actually, probably not. But it was a sad and true reality when I checked in with myself. I would have told all of these people about my children's struggles and societal discrimination and the hardships all the time, because that is all I had to talk about. And although I saw it as a passion, fighting for my children's rights, others likely saw it as another problem, another fight, another issue. And they weren't wrong. Another anxiety, another thing that was stressing me out and making me unhappy. When we have SEND children, it can be this way for absolutely years. And this was me, and I'm sure some of you are listening to this and relating. So I tried changing a little bit. Even if I did manage to get out of the house for a dog walk to speak to one of my circle on the phone, I would be talking about things on the inside of the house, my kids. Or if I did manage to go to the gym and say meet my mum at the gym, again, I would be talking about stuff that was going on at home with the kids, the frustrations. And it was like I couldn't escape my brain. The additional needs, anxieties went round and round and round. And no matter how much I talked about them, and this is to the point where you then know that it's ruminating, I never felt any better at the end of it. They never went away. So it wasn't as if I was talking to people as an outlet and that made me feel better. That made me feel emotionally regulated and I could crack on with my rest of my day. It just continued. It went round and round and round. So I had to try and find something outside of my caring responsibilities. I had to try and change anything at all. I had to try and listen to somebody else's world or share my opinion on something world related, not send related. I'm actually really good at this. I love starting a full-on debate about completely random shit. I would listen to podcasts. I would try and listen to my favourite music and remember the good times that I had prior to my children. And music tends to set this off. I would follow people on social media that really made me feel good and fill my cup. I would perhaps watch my favourite comedian on YouTube. Laughter, by the way, gets brownie points. It's medicinal, I swear. And actually, I started to check in with my body and how my body felt when I started doing these things. Obviously, all of these examples I've given you are all home-based examples because I am stuck at home 24/7. But if you listening to this can get out of the house to enjoy a hobby outside of the house, then even better. My body started to feel less stressed in the times that I was doing these other things, these other positive things, and it did start to quieten that send noise. And in these moments, I started to feel a little bit more like Katie again. And so, even though it was literally maybe a 2 or 3 minute clip on YouTube of my favorite comedian, or a podcast while I was walking the dog, or a song which lasts 4 minutes, all of those things were very tiny bits of time in amongst my very busy day. But they did, if you check in with how you're feeling in that moment, I was checking in with actually they were making me feel less stressed. And yet when I would be talking to the people in my circle and relaying the trauma over and over again of perhaps the most recent frustration with a meltdown or the most recent frustration with discrimination comments or the most recent frustration with the EHCP tribunal, feeling that in my body was making me feel the trauma again and making me feel more stressed. And so when I started talking about these other things I was doing, so when I was listening to a podcast, for example, I was talking about that with my mum in the gym instead of talking about all of the send issues, I was actually starting to feel a bit more like Katie again. I was starting to feel more human again. I started to notice that actually I was feeling better in myself and it wasn't feeding these ruminating thoughts. And it's interesting because when I was ranting about my special needs issues within my household, my body, when while I'm talking, while I'm communicating, my body would feel tight, it would feel anxious, I'd feel foggy headed, I would feel heightened, like it had only just happened again, and I could feel my heart rate rise. So it is really important to speak of our SEND struggles. I don't want people to start thinking, okay, I mustn't talk about them. That's not what I'm saying. Of course, it's really important to speak of our SEND struggles. In fact, it's the quickest way to feel emotionally regulated due to feeling validated in what you're saying. And so it is a process that needs to be done. But it doesn't need to be done in a ruminating way where it's over and over and over again to every single person in your circle, whether that be one, two, or three, constantly. You need to show a little bit of yourself as well, if you can. Try and get your brain into another outlet if you can. Because it's just as important to talk about your own interests and your own outlets too, even if it's just a little bit. Perhaps when you're talking to others over the next week or so, check in with how your body feels and see how you feel when you're doing it. See if it's the same as me. You know how, if you follow me on social media, I've recently just done a TikTok. I was talking about how we have to fill our child's cup. Because of their additional needs, they have less opportunities to have theirs filled by others in society. So, for example, they may have struggles in mainstream school and get in trouble throughout the day. They may have difficulties in the social world. They may not go to the kind of swimming clubs and football clubs and after school clubs and all of that kind of stuff that other children do. They have much less opportunities to meet others and feel great. And so, because they have less opportunities for their cup to be filled by the social world and society in general, then we as parents have to try much harder to fill their cups in other ways. But if you think about what I'm saying, you don't have that either. You don't have those outlets either because you're caring for that neurodiverse child. So maybe you are living that isolated and lonely life due to filling their cups. So you have to be kind to yourself too. And as hard as you would work on filling their cups, trying to find some time slots to step outside of the ruminating send difficulties and thoughts and finding tiny little slices of you again, even if they're just for 3 or 4 minutes. And then sharing this with the people in your circle too. Let them see and experience you as well as the exceptional parent that you are. If you find little pieces of your authentic self again and share it with others, it will make you feel better. Developing our own coping strategies in amongst this mainstream system that is quite literally discriminative and not fit for purpose for SEND children is really important. And so these little pieces of time to move our minds away from those ruminating thoughts can be really helpful. And just checking in with how your body feels to try and find what coping strategies will help you. I have been in some really burnt out and stressed places over the last 10 years that I look back and I'm unrecognizable. And I try to not let this system, this discriminative and not fit for purpose system, take any more years from me and my family. It is really difficult to do that every single day, finding those little time slots to find yourself outside of the send responsibilities that you have. But it is important that you prioritize you and try and find some little slices of yourself in each and every day so that you don't suffer with the stress and the burnout as often as you would do, of course, if you didn't do these things. So I'm constantly looking now at how can I fill my cup? And when I am able to see these one, two, or three people, which isn't often, how am I communicating? And am I making sure that I'm leaving that social interaction with my cup full because there's so little of it due to my caring responsibilities? Because how we communicate with others around us can really have a massive impact on our own mental health. I think sometimes we can get so focused on trying to do the big things in life that we are told to do on Google or in life coaching books that we know we can't do, that then we just write it off. I used to feel like it with working out in particular. You know, if I can't go to the gym at least 3 times a week, then what's the point in going? You know, I used to have that mindset. Whereas actually, if I did even make it the one time in a week, that one time for that 1 hour, I would feel amazing. And so it was worth it. It absolutely was worth it. That's why I get so frustrated over the years with Google. I would constantly ask Google, usually at 2 a.m., like how to feel happier, how to make friends in your 40s, how to feel less anxious, how to feel less depressed, how to feel less exhausted. And the answers were always ridiculous. You know, things like prioritize sleep, I wish, start hobbies outside of the home. Well, I can't get a sitter. Go on dating sites to meet others because reintroducing change is a good thing for neurospicy children. Reach out to friends. There's very few to reach out to, and they're all sick of my complaining. And if you read life coach books, you'll read Start the 5 a.m. Club and Focus on Healthy Nutrition, Get Outside, Be Consistent. And I'm just screaming, I would love to get outside. I would love to be consistent. I would love to focus on healthy nutrition. And oh my goodness, I would love a good night's sleep. But the reality of it is, when you have a child with ADHD, autism, and/or PDA, you just cannot access those things. And so they all feel too far away that what's the point, when actually there are smaller things that we absolutely can be doing. And these little slots of time throughout the day to just step outside of those ruminating anxieties and thoughts can be really helpful in grounding ourselves and have a huge impact on the way we communicate with others, the way we're using others, the way we're filling our own cup. And then that in turn has a much more positive impact on our mental health. I do hope today's topic was a good one to dive into and gives us the motivation to prioritize that 2 or 3 minutes every couple of hours throughout the day to pour into our own cup, or even to check in with how we're feeling when we're talking to other people, how our body is feeling. I hope you have the most amazing day. Do find me at www.sendparentingbalance.com. Do reach out for me at support@sendparentingbalance.com. I always love to hear from you, and I look forward to seeing you on the next podcast. Take care.